You were there all along. I remember hearing about the idea of you in quaint stories and comforting sweet songs. But they never could or would paint a vivid or clear picture of you. Only left is imagery to my young, naive mind. Through the years, I believed you to be something, someone methodical or a fantasy that never could be mine. Confusion and distortion that took root from misunderstanding, yet when I quieted the noise of opinions and interpretations, you made yourself known in the quietest and simplest of ways. Like the sun that rises and sets every day, you were there all along. The question I have to ask now is, did I have the eyes to see what was in front of me? Did I possess the ears to hear, the mind to understand, or the heart to truly believe that you were present all this time? Finding myself in a sense of longing for a connection, a real and intimate relationship. But I know to do so, step one is to surrender, to let go of these fears and misconceptions, to begin to see and believe the Holy Spirit to be more than a what, but also a who and a why. To experience you firsthand, I've come to relate the Holy Spirit like the wind, so unpredictable, often going unnoticed and unappreciated. But like a refreshing breeze, you breathe necessary life into me. As a part of a vital entity of the Trinity, you are the personalized movement of intimacy of God for me. No longer viewed as a mystery, but a gift not to be taken for granted or lightly. I will not and cannot take advantage because now I realize it's true. You were here all along.
Welcome, everybody, to week 4 of our Holy Spirit series. Thank you to my wife, who is here, for starting that clap. But it's great to see everybody here today. I want to welcome all of you at all of our campuses, as well as those of you who are joining us online. I'm excited to be here and have the opportunity to share with you today as we're continuing to talk more about the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know if you can relate to me in this, but the Holy Spirit is something that I haven't always known a whole lot about. So hopefully, during this series, it is helping you understand more about the important person of the Holy Spirit. But as we start today talking about this idea of living in relationship with the Holy Spirit, let's just go ahead and say this, right? We all have relationships in common. Each and every one of us at all of our campuses all have some type of relationship. Either now, throughout our life. I mean, there have been relationships there. Now, here's what I want to ask all of you to do. So all of our campuses, think about who is the person that was the best relationship or friendship, or maybe even is now, who's the person that you have the best relationship with? Some of you can go ahead and look at your spouse beside you and say it's you. You know, that'll get you some points. Go ahead and do that. But think about this. Think about this. What is it that distinguishes that person from any other person? What is it that makes that relationship better than any other relationship you've ever had? And I think one of the things that most often distinguishes our best relationship is it is one where we really know that person and they really know us. I mean, it's somebody that you can be yourself around. It's somebody that you can get in a fight with and go, this relationship's going to be okay. It's somebody who you're around so much that you can actually finish each other's sandwiches. Exactly. But here's the thing, is that relationships like this, they don't go from acquaintance to a deeper relationship on accident. Have you ever thought about that? You actually have to be intentional to take a relationship deeper, for it to become one of those best relationships. You actually have to spend time together. You need to talk past just the surface level. You need to listen. And yes, that's a good thing to do. Listen. You care for one another. You support one another. You think about each other. But the point is that there is intentionality in your relationship to move it deeper, to move it to be more intimate, to move it to be a relationship that becomes one of the best. Intentionality. Now, when I think about my relationship, my best one, it is my wife. Absolutely. She is my best friend. She's the one who has the front row to my life. She's the one who knows more about me than any other person on this entire planet. And in fact, I have a couple of pictures of us back from when we were dating. So we'll go ahead and show you these so you can see this. Go ahead and you can say, oh, isn't that cute? I know. I look really good in that picture. That one too. That one's great. So we just had fun when we were dating. But here's the thing. It's like when you're dating, we were intentional about getting to know each other. We'd go on walks, and then we'd do the little cute thing. You know, you swap the notes, and you put them in each other's car, and you do this, like, fun thing, you know, like that. And we get to know each other throughout this time. And in fact, when we were dating, there was one that's a highlight for me when we were dating is this one date we were going on. My wife actually went down to a Ford dealership before this and talked them into letting her test drive a brand-new Ford F-250 pickup truck for our date. So she came to pick me up from my place with a brand new pickup. And in fact, we have a picture of that today that we want to show you because this right here sealed the deal for me. If there were any questions if I was going to marry this woman, this right here said, done. How do I put a ring on that finger today? And so in this dating phase, we were intentional about getting to know each other throughout the whole phase. But now in marriage, we've been married now, this August was 9 years of marriage. Pretty sweet. We've got 3 kids. Needless to say, now with 3 little kids, 9 years in, our relationship is much different than it was when we were dating. It's much deeper now. We know each other a whole lot more. We know more about each other. Our relationship dynamics are much different being married and now having the kids that are there. But here's the thing, is that we still have to be intentional. Even now, 9 years later of being married, we still have to be just as intentional to continue to get to know each other more. There's still more things that we can learn about each other each and every day. We have to be intentional with our time to make sure we're connecting so that our relationship continues to be healthy and go deeper. And it's the very same way with our relationship with God, and especially this idea of living in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I would be willing to bet on all of our campuses and in a room this big that some of you may fall in places when we say this idea of living in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Some of you may say, well, I'm still checking out church. I don't even know what that means. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out, do I even believe this or what is this whole relationship with God all about? And let me say that we're so glad you're here. Because, in fact, when we started our church, we started in mind saying, how do we create a church in an environment where people can come with no understanding at all about the Bible or Jesus, but yet feel welcomed and able to walk through and process that and pursue a relationship with him. But others of us may be here, and we may be asking this question. We may say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. I mean, I believe in Jesus, but I have no idea what it means to live in relationship with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's like a foreign concept. I don't know. And as we talk about this today, we want to get into this idea of living in relationship with the Holy Spirit where there can oftentimes be great confusion. But as we review this series and we think back about it, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It's the triune God, the 3-in-1. And the Holy Spirit is just as much God in spirit form as Jesus is God in flesh and God the Father is the God in heaven. I mean, he is 3-in-1. It is one God that exists in 3 persons. I mean, it's like our human minds just, we can't comprehend it. I mean, it's so hard to understand how this works. But here's what we see is the Holy Spirit fulfills unique roles in our lives. This is why we want to have a relationship with him. And he's not some it. He's not some force like in Star Wars. He's not some kind of weird being, but he is a person. And living in relationship with the Holy Spirit is important because he is God living in us. When our faith is in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is God living in us. He is the one who comes alongside of us to convict us, to guide us, to comfort us, to give us wisdom. He is the one who will give us strength. I mean, he is literally our lifeline to the heart of God and the one who helps us in our lives to bring attention and glory to Jesus, to those around us. I mean, living in relationship with Holy Spirit can be a game changer for our lives. And in fact, if you think about this at all of our campuses, I mean, what if you could truly have connection with the God who created you? What if you could know what he wants for you? What if the next time you found yourself in some kind of a difficult, even terrible situation, and you're questioning, how am I going to go through this? If you could go through it with a more positive, joyful outlook, when you go into it, when you come through it stronger, What if that could be you? And these things and so many more benefits come in living in relationship with the Holy Spirit and knowing Him. Now, let me go ahead and start and set this up, because living in relationship first starts with Jesus. In fact, when God would orchestrate a whole relationship with Himself, as He would begin in creation and He would orchestrate a relationship between humanity and the God, the Creator, He would orchestrate it in this way, that He would say, because of sin, it is separating you from Me, but I'm sending Jesus, My Son, to go die on a cross, that those who would turn and believe in Him, put their faith in Him, could have forgiveness, so they would experience grace and love, and as a result, they experience the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so for us to begin living in relationship with the Holy Spirit first starts with our faith in Jesus, and then it goes to now living out this relationship with the Holy Spirit. And as we start today, we're going to look at two insights that help us build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But then we're going to look at two insights that we can see that will break down our relationship with the Spirit. So as we get started, I want to ask, can we just pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come and meet with us and show us some things maybe we need to change in our lives? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, in this moment, right now, at all of our campuses, and even for those who are joining us online, we pray that You would move, that You would have freedom, that nothing would keep You from being able to speak into our lives, that when You speak to us today about maybe some things that we need to make some changes on, that we will be open to it. God, I pray that we would make that commitment right now in the very beginning of this. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now as we jump into this, let's talk about two ways that we can build our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the first one of these is to pursue knowing Him. Pursue knowing Him. When my wife and I were dating, I mean, I already talked about the intentionality that we had in getting to know each other. And I remember this one night when we went out for a walk and we had the DTR. You guys all know the DTR, the Define the Relationship talk. It's the one that awkwardly starts as you're walking. You're like, so, you're good looking. I like you. What do you think? I mean, don't act like yours was smoother, okay? You know, we have this DTR talk that starts something like this. We mumble over the words and we get to the point. And then we spent all this time on this walk and we're talking. And it was such a great conversation, because in this conversation, we are asking so many questions about each other. We're getting to know about our pasts, about our dreams, about what we're doing right now. What do we see in the future? What do we want in a relationship? And we're asking all these questions. We're pursuing to try and know more about each other, because we're going into dating and we're asking the question, are we going to get married or what? And so we're pursuing to know each other intentionally. And we look at our relationship with the Holy Spirit, it requires us, if we're going to build it, to pursue knowing Him. To try to get to know Him more, to know more about the Holy Spirit's specific role in our lives. To know more about who the Holy Spirit is and what exactly does He do. And as we do this, it requires us to say intentionally, I will seek after You. But here's the promise. I love this. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 13 and 14, God would say this promise. He says, you will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. You get that? You will seek Me and you will find Me when you seek Me with all of your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. See, there is a promise from God saying, when you will seek after Me with all of your heart, I mean, you're determined to let nothing deter you from getting to Me. You will find Me. And we will pursue knowing the Holy Spirit. We can take this promise and say, when we really get serious about seeking after Him, about pursuing Him, that we will find Him. But it will require some intentionality. So how is it that we begin to pursue the Holy Spirit, to know more about Him? And I think one of the best things that we can do, and y'all, this is just one of the best practices that you can do for life and for any kind of relationship with God, is figure out ways to determine to get the Bible in your life on a daily active basis. Reading the Bible will help you understand more about a relationship with God. It'll help you understand more about relationship with the Holy Spirit. It'll help you understand more about how God has made you unique and the things that He is calling you to. I mean, this is one of the biggest game changers that you experienced in your life. But as we read God's word, as we understand it, we can begin to pursue and understand more about the Holy Spirit. You can also pray. Pray and ask him to reveal himself to you. You can seek out other people who you see having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You see there's something different in that person, and you can go to them and say, hey, will you help me understand more about how to experience the Holy Spirit in my life? You can read books. In fact, if you've got your pen and paper, you can write down a quick book recommendation. It's The God I Never Knew. The God I Never Knew by Robert Morris. It's a great book that you can check out to learn more about the Holy Spirit. Because pursuing to know him requires some intentionality and some intentional steps. And if I'm honest, I mean, I'm still learning a lot more personally about what it means to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I'm still seeking to understand more. Because in my background, growing up in churches and whatnot, there was a lot of emphasis on the Father, a lot of emphasis on Jesus, but not as much emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And it's not that we trump one or the other, but we want to know more about the Holy Spirit. And in my life, I'm trying to learn more about him, about living in relationship with him. And here's the thing that I know is that the more that I learn about relationship with the Holy Spirit, the more that I see the importance of it in connecting to the very heart of God. And living in relationship with the Holy Spirit will require intentionality. Intentionality where we pursue knowing him. Now, a second way that we can build our relationship with the Holy Spirit, I think is so important, is that we make room for him. We make room for him. Now, how many of you at all of our campuses, you can go and raise your hand and say, you would say, I'm pretty busy. Go ahead, you can all agree with this. I mean, a lot of us would say we're pretty busy. And this past week for my wife and I, it was a pretty busy week. And in fact, a lot of our ladies at South Bay were at the women's event. So any ladies at the women's event there Thursday night? We had a great women's event that was here. I was there, so I made it like a dude event too. So anyway, I'm just kidding. But we were there, and I got to see, it was a great event. It was awesome to see God moving in that way. And my wife, Kendall, she's been part of the leadership, was helping plan it and work on this. So Breathe and the women's event, you got to know, it's like second Easter in our house. I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, months ago, the planning started. I mean, notes and our bathroom mirror and talking about what's going to be happening, what we're going to be doing. I mean, and then we get the week of, and it is crazy busy. Maybe you've had these weeks where you can relate to this. I mean, it's like hardly any time to connect as spouses with each other, because she would have different rehearsals or be working on things at night, or I'm trying to prep a message. So some days I'm out of the house before anybody's even up in the morning, or we got my mom in town. I mean, it was just all kinds of things coming together in this one week, and we had very little time to connect with each other. Now, before you get worried and you think that we need counseling or we need something else, intervention, that's not every week, okay? And we have some time coming to pay back that, where we're going to have some more time together as a family. This is going to be coming up as well. But if we kept running at that pace, if we kept going nonstop, what do you think would happen to our relationship? It would begin to break down. There would begin to be a disconnect, because what would happen is we don't have room for each other. We don't have margin to connect. And as a result, we begin to divide over time because we don't have any time with each other. And many of us run extremely busy. We run hard with our work schedules. We run hard with our kids' schedules because they've got 58 soccer games by this afternoon. We run all over. We have so many friends to hang out with. We have so many things, events we've got to be at. I don't want to miss anything. And we run so hard that we don't have any margin. And here's the important thing for us to know, is that no margin leads to no connection. No margin leads to no connection. In your relationships, when you don't have margin for them, you don't have connection. And in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, if you don't have margin for him, you have no connection with him. No margin leads to no connection. See, it is so important for us that we make room in our lives for a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And in fact, as I was preparing for this message, I read this quote that was really impactful, talking about this idea. It says, in an age with so much mental clutter and so many weapons of mass destruction vying for our attention, Our problem is not just that we think wrongly about God, but that we rarely think about God at all. I don't know about you, but when I read that, it hit me kind of hard. Because at least if I'm thinking about God wrongly, I'm thinking about God. But I think it's so true that we rarely think about God at all. Because if you're like me, I mean, honestly, I'm so guilty sometimes of just running and getting going. And if I see my email first thing in the morning, it's like work brain just clicked on and we got stuff to do. Or we've got to move and we've got to do things. I mean, we just get busy and we've got so many things that we're doing that oftentimes I can be guilty of this. I can be guilty of reading my Bible in the morning going, oh, that's so good. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Okay, what's going on? And go throughout my day and not even be thinking about it. And you know what? For me, I'm doing ministry. It's the thing that we do for God. You know the good stuff? And I can still operate in this way. And I think the thing for us to see is that sometimes we get in our lives, even we get busy doing good things. Ministry, life groups, serving, connecting with others. We do all these good things, even good things for God, but yet sometimes they can even get in the way of us connecting with God and having room for Him. Now listen for just a minute, okay? This is really important. Don't go quitting everything that you're doing. All right? Don't go quitting everything you're doing. But think about this. What changes could you make that would help bring God into the center of what you're already doing? Where are other places that you can make room for Him? Where can you begin to create that space? How do you begin to make sure that the Holy Spirit, as you operate and as you do ministry, is right there in the middle of what you're doing? That you're not just saying, okay, Holy Spirit, great. Okay, let me do this. You're saying, okay, how do you come alongside me in everything that we're doing? Because listen to this, as we make space for the Holy Spirit, it makes an impact. Because listen to the rest of this quote. It says, making room in our minds and our hearts and our schedules can be an invitation for the Holy Spirit to fill these spaces. I love this. When we make room, when we make space for the Holy Spirit, it's an invitation for Him to come in and begin to fill these spaces in our life. But if we fail to make room for Him, if we stay overly too busy, or if we fail to make space to invite the Holy Spirit into our life, then it will literally begin to choke out the work of God in our life. It'll begin to choke it out. In fact, Jesus, when He was teaching His disciples and even some of the crowds, He would use this parable, which is like an illustration or a story, to illustrate a spiritual point. And He would be talking about the Word of God going out into people's lives and the work that God wants to do. And He would say it's like somebody throwing seeds out across the ground. These seeds land in different types of soil in different places, and some of them grow up to like make these big trees. And God, it's like the illustration that God's really doing big things in their life, and their life is producing a lot of fruit. But He would say this. He would say, the seed sown among the thorns. One of the places that these seeds fall is in the middle of the thorns. They hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. In other words, what he's saying, sometimes the word of God hits into somebody's heart. God wants to do a work in your life, but so often we can turn our eyes away from Jesus over to all of these things where now we begin to focus here, and as a result, it is choking out what God wants to do in our life because there's no room for Him. And I already mentioned, I mean, this is a harder one for me personally to wrestle with, to say, how do I continue to operate in a way that I think and I make room for God? And recently, as I was reading in my morning time, I'm reading my Bible, I'm reading Psalm 63. It's a psalm written by David, who was one of the kings of Israel. In fact, David was described as a man after God's own heart. I mean, he was like the picture of the relationship that we would want to have with God. And David would write this in Psalm 63, and this is what I read just not too long ago. It says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek You. I thirst for You. My whole being longs for You. I have seen You in the sanctuary and beheld Your power and Your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I don't know about you, but when I read this, I see a description of somebody who is earnestly longing to know God more. I mean, listen to the way that David describes it. He says, God, I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you. He's out in the desert, actually, when he's writing this, and he's taking the physical thirst that he feels in the desert and saying, this is the way that I feel about wanting to know God. I've seen your power. I've seen what you do. And then this was the part that really hit me hard this morning, the morning that I read this. It says, because your love is better than life. Because your love is better than life. And honestly, I mean, the part that I sat there and I thought about this for a while that morning. And I started thinking, because your love is better than life. I said, those sound like pretty words. I mean, I can stand up on a stage and I can say that. I can talk to somebody. I can show you Bible verse after Bible verse and say, yes, absolutely, this is 100% true. But what began to hit me is saying, I can say this, but am I living it? Like, is this something that is inside of me that is a burning passion inside that's saying, yes, absolutely, I 110% right here outside of me, God's love is better than life. Absolutely, it is overflowing out of me. And it began to challenge me in this. As I began to pray about this and think about it, I felt like God was saying to me after reading this, you need to remove distractions from your life. You need to remove distractions from your life. Because here's the thing, is that a relationship like what David has right here with God doesn't come out of a busy, packed, full schedule. It doesn't come out of a lot of doing. It comes out of making room for God. It comes out of making room for the Holy Spirit in our life so that we can actually live in relationship with Him. And so as a result of that, I began to think through, what are ways that I can make room for the Holy Spirit? So, these are all things I'm trying, okay? I try to not look at my email in the morning first thing before I can read my Bible. Because I know if I flip on work brain, we're working. I try to limit amount of time on social media. Even having some days where I may not even be on it. Because you know, and we've probably all done this, I hope I'm not the only one who's like trolled through like a Facebook feed for like 20 minutes. And imagine if you take that time and you begin to repurpose that for time that you can spend connecting in relationship with the Holy Spirit or with God. I try to think too, where can I make room another time? So on our bathroom mirror, I wrote up a couple of verses I'm trying to learn. So in the mornings when I get ready, I'm reading a couple of verses. Try to think about it in the car. I mean, all of us have drive time where you could listen to a message in your headphones or you could review a Bible verse. You can do something like that. So where is it, even in what you're already doing, that you can make room for the Holy Spirit so that you can live in relationship with Him? But know this, is that when we make room for the Holy Spirit, it will require intentionality in our life. And we'll have to be intentional. Now, there's also a couple ways that we can break down our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So we see that we can build it by pursuing to know Him, by making room for Him, but we can also break down our relationship. And in fact, the Apostle Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, he would say, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. And the idea with quench that he is talking about is taking water and pouring it on a fire, watching it just sizzle out. And there are things that we can do in our lives that if we do these, it will quench the Holy Spirit in our life. And the first one is to ignore His promptings. Ignore His promptings. Now, there may or may not have been times in my relationship with my wife and in our marriage where I was not paying attention to what she was saying. Now, I know none of you can relate to this, but let's just say it might have happened. Where I'm doing something and she's talking and I'm totally distracted by what I'm doing. There may be other times where I'm actually looking at her. I mean, maybe some of you have done this, where you're like, uh-huh, yeah, sure, absolutely, I can do that. I'm sorry, what? Where you're like totally missing it. Now, here's the thing, is that that's going to happen from time to time in our relationships. It's just perfectly, it's normal, that's who we are. We get distracted by stuff. That's going to happen. But if it happens too much, if it happens too consistently, what's going to happen? One, it's going to frustrate the heck out of her. Two, she's going to start thinking he never listens, and then she's going to stop talking. And when she stops talking, then what's going to happen is I'm going to miss her heart. I'm going to miss hearing her heart, connecting with her. And now our relationship begins to break. And if we are ignoring the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the danger is it becomes that we continue to ignore what he's saying, continue to ignore. He's going to slow down and begin to back off on his promptings and speaking to us. And as a result, our heart becomes calloused to his voice. Where when he's leading, we're just covered up with calluses, blocking it out, and we're ignoring his promptings, ignoring what he's calling us to do. And here's the thing, is that the Holy Spirit is there to speak truth. Is there to speak truth that will allow us to live out the best. And when we ignore his promptings, it's things like this. When he comes prompting us to confess sin, and we just kind of blow it off. When he comes prompting us to be transparent about a struggle, and we just hold it in. We say, no, I'm not going to do that. It's like pouring that water, quenching that spirit, that relationship with him. When he calls us to give of our time or our money, and we just say, whoa, I must have heard something wrong. I'm just kind of rolling over here. We're quenching the spirit by ignoring those promptings. So the question becomes for us, will you listen or will you ignore? So at Sunnyvale, will you listen or will you ignore? South San Jose, will you listen or will you ignore? Let's say it again, just so we can all make sure we get it down. North San Jose, will you listen or will you ignore? Because when we ignore his promptings, we are pushing out his voice and his guidance in our life. And Jesus would even teach on this idea of stewardship. We would see him teaching about this idea of stewardship. It's when we take something that's been given to us and we handle it well, God gives us more. But when we handle it poorly, God gives us less, and we'll even take away the very things that have been given to us. And when it comes to our relationship with the Holy Spirit, I see it's very similar, is that we can steward what the Holy Spirit is telling us and prompting us and guiding us to do. And as we will listen, as we will act, if we will not ignore, he will continue to speak into our life, guiding us and helping us, and we will continue to live in relationship with him. But if we block out, if we push, if we ignore against what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do, then as a result, we will experience less and less and less of the Holy Spirit in our life, because living in relationship with the Holy Spirit requires intentionality. And we have to be intentional to not ignore what the Holy Spirit is doing. Don't ignore his promptings. The second thing that we can do to break down a relationship with the Holy Spirit is grieve him. Grieve him. Now, I know it sounds kind of funny to say grieve him. Maybe it's not language that we always use. But think about this. In marriage, I mean, even my wife and I, we've had opportunities or times where we have done things or said things that hurt the other person, made them sad, brought sorrow, brought some grief. Any relationship that we have, there will be things that we do that can hurt the other person. But in a marriage, nothing will bring grief like cheating on your spouse. And not just cheating with a person. But there are times where we may cheat on our spouse with work, with hobbies, with sports, with our phone. I mean, you think about it. Anything that we are putting before our spouse, anything that we are allowing to consume our attention and take us away from them, is cheating on them. And if it happens enough, it will begin to bring in grief and sorrow and sadness and brokenness within our relationship. And when we look in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, if we are going to live in relationship with him, when we sin, we are grieving him. When we disobey God, we are grieving the Holy Spirit and bringing a brokenness into our relationship with him. This is why the Apostle Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 4, he would say, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." But he would say, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice and evil behavior." Paul would say, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't keep sin in your life, but get rid of it. Get all these things out of your life. Don't keep it in there, because if you keep it in, it will grieve the Holy Spirit in your life. It'll break down the relationship with him. See, if you want the Holy Spirit's power to be removed off your life, if you don't want to experience God at all working and moving in your life, just keep sin hidden all up in your life. Keep sin hidden right here. Don't say anything about it. Don't confess it. Conceal it. Hide it. Bury it. And you will experience a lack of God's power in your life. And even when we look back at David, remember the king? The one who was the man after God's own heart. We would even see that David was not perfect. In fact, there was a time as David was king that he would commit adultery. He would commit murder. And then worst of all, he would begin to conceal it and try and hide it and cover it all up. Didn't want to expose it at all. But I want us to see from Psalm 32 the impact and the effect that it had on David. Psalm 32, starting in verse 1, David says, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." See, David starts with this idea saying, man, if you have been forgiven, then you are blessed to have that taken away. You are blessed when there's no deceit, no deceitfulness, nothing you're trying to cover up and hide in who you are. Man, it is a blessing because, verse 3 says, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. See, when David writes, he says, man, you're blessed when you're forgiven because, listen, when I kept silent about my sin, it's like my body was dying. My bones were wasting away. I was thinking about it day and night. I couldn't get it out of my mind. It felt like a weight upon me. It was literally sapping his energy like he'd been out in the summer heat all day long. He's just exhausted. And here's the thing is that when we have sin hidden in our life and hidden in our heart, it is like carrying around a weight. And it is like a cancer inside of us that is destroying us. It is darkness that clouds and fogs our minds. And we can't even begin to see clearly. We can't even begin to see truth because we are carrying around the sin inside of our lives. And it is grieving the Holy Spirit. And it is keeping us from living in relationship with Him. But listen to what David would say. He says, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Check this out. He says, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. See, when David kept silent, he was living inside of a prison of sin. He felt like he was wasting away. But then when he acknowledged it, acknowledge means I own it. Yeah, I did it. This is confession. This is real. He acknowledged it. He pointed it out. He confessed it. He came to God. And you know what? As a result of his confession of sin, he experienced the forgiveness and grace of God in his life. And he experienced this in his life. And here's the thing that we see. If you want to connect with God, if you want to live in a relationship with Him, when there is sin in your life, you don't conceal it, you don't hide it, you don't keep silent about it, you confess it, you repent. Repent is the idea of turning away from it, to turn to something new, to turn towards following God. I repent from it, and as a result, when that sin comes out of my life, I can now live in relationship with the Holy Spirit because I'm no longer grieving Him with sin in my life. And when I look back at my life, I mean, I'm not perfect. None of us are. We all have our issues. We all have our hang-ups. We all have the things we mess up with. The things that I've had in my life and will probably continue to have some of these. I mean, there's pride that can get there that I need to confess. There is anxiety. There is anger. There can be lacks of self-control. I mean, pick an area of life where there's probably some self-control that needs, God can continue to work in me. In my past, there has been lust or pornography. I mean, these things that were here before. But here's the thing that I see is that every time for me to move past it, for me to move through it, there has to be confession. Because confession and transparency bring freedom and forgiveness. Do you get that? Your confession and your transparency will bring freedom and forgiveness into your life, just like David experienced. And you know where I just recently saw that power? Because you can see, when you see in somebody's life, when somebody gets this, when they allow God to break them, when they allow God to bring their sin to the surface, and they're willing to open up, as risky and as hard as it may be, you can see the freedom and peace that comes in. Is now they experience God's grace, and no longer are they bottled up with this, but now it's like taken out. It's like the light comes into the dark. It's like the cancer is being taken out. And in fact, a week and a half ago, we had our men's event. It was Raw. That was the name of it. Very manly men's event. We had this event, and this is one of the things that we came up with, was we were talking about transparency, how transparency and confession will bring freedom and forgiveness. And there were multiple men who came forward and were talking to our pastors and each other, confessing sin, issues in their life, things they had never told anybody else before, maybe even things from years ago. And as a result, as they're pouring all this out, they're experiencing healing and they're experiencing freedom. They're experiencing forgiveness because their confession and their transparency led to freedom and forgiveness. And living in relationship with the Holy Spirit requires intentionality. But it requires us to live with some intentionality that says, listen, when the Holy Spirit prompts me to say, that's sin, you need to confess and get it out, I am going to get it out. I will not hold it in. I will not keep silent about it. Because if I do, it will grieve the Holy Spirit in my life. And listen, I believe that there will be a day, that there will be a day when each of you can experience the Holy Spirit in your life. You can feel his strength and his comfort. You can hear his voice. You will sense his conviction. I believe that some of you in relationships right now, especially in marriage, where your marriage is holding on by a thread, that there will be a day when you experience the Holy Spirit bringing health into you and into your marriage. I believe there will be a day when some of you parents, you will see your kids grow up to live in relationship with the Holy Spirit because you as a parent modeled it. You showed it to them. And I believe that some of you at all of our campuses and even online, if you will begin, like Jeremiah 29 says, to seek after God with all of your heart, that you will find him, that you will experience the grace and forgiveness that comes through Jesus, that you will experience friendship with the Holy Spirit, because you will not let anything keep you from seeking and pursuing to know him. And as a result, you will find him. Y'all, if we all got serious about living in relationship with the Holy Spirit, where we said we will not ignore him, we will not grieve him, but we will pursue knowing him, we will make room for him. If we will get intentional about this and about living in relationship with the Holy Spirit, then I believe that we will see so many life-impactful stories and life change that will happen in our church, in our communities, and in our relationships. Why? Because we decided to get intentional about living in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And today at all of our campuses, our worship leaders are going to come out and they're going to lead us in a song. And during this song, here's what I want to ask, is that all of us would give the Holy Spirit a little bit of room. Give him a little bit of room to speak to your heart and don't ignore his promptings. Some of you, maybe it's making a commitment to say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to pursue knowing you. And I'm going to make room for you this week. Maybe you need to just pray for that. Make that commitment. For others, maybe there is something that you need to confess that has been grieving the Holy Spirit. There's an unconfessed sin that's in there that you've been hiding that you need to confess to God right in this moment before you even leave here. But here's the other challenge I have for you. Is that don't just confess it here, but talk to somebody else today before you leave about it. Confess it to another person. Come to the Connection Center. Talk to one of our pastors. Talk to one of our prayer team. Let us talk with you. Let us pray for you. Because James 5:16 says that when we confess to one another our sins, that we can pray for each other, and therefore we can experience healing. See, our confession and transparency can bring freedom and forgiveness. And when we go to someone else and we are praying for them, we can continue to have healing in our life as we go forward. So take that extra step. I know it'll seem risky, but you can experience freedom and forgiveness today. So let the Holy Spirit lead you as we sing this song. Act on what he's asking you to do. Let me pray for us. Holy Spirit, I pray in this very moment that you will move, that you will work, that God, our hearts would be open to what you want for us. That we would not ignore you or push you out. But God, I pray that you would give us boldness and conviction to go forward, to follow you, to trust you, to let you lead us. God, I pray for just the strength with some of the confession that may need to happen, the sins that we need to get out. God, that we would no longer hold it in, but that we would see that transparency brings freedom and forgiveness. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.